This is Art and Seek. I'm Hadi Mawagdi. For many artists, securing gallery representation can seem like an unobtainable goal. Whether you're an artist with an MFA or self-taught, finding representation can be confusing and difficult. 1 year ago, Fort Worth Arts Collective, Arttooth, set out on a mission to assist local, emerging, and mid-career artists with this problem. Today, the org's executive director and senior curator, Dee Lara, joins me to take a look back at the efforts and to talk about the future. Dee, thanks so much for taking some time to chat.
Thank you, Hadi, for having us.
So Dee, for any of our listeners that have not heard of Arttooth, can you give us a quick rundown of the efforts you and your group has been making to help artists garner representation?
So Arttooth calls itself a hybrid gallery project. And we picked a really generic title because we do a lot of things. So we'll have workshops for artists to help them get their professional materials in order. So that can be portfolios, that can be artist statements, CVs. We actually also stage exhibitions. We try to create social environments for artists to interact. So that has been in the past mixers. We partner with commercial galleries to help them curate and promote exhibitions in conjunction with their artists. We also work with other nonprofit spaces that we think are a little underused and aren't trafficked. So we also have curatorial initiatives for those spaces. And most recently, we've worked with nonprofits, specifically the Modern, to organize education and outreach initiatives.
So you're sort of like a one-stop art shop in Fort Worth.
And actually, we've had some projects in Dallas, so it's turning into a regional thing.
Well, you know, we first met about a year ago today. It was pretty close to a year ago today. And when we met, you were working with a motley crew of artists. Sound designer James Talambas was helping you secure entertainment for pop-up shows, and painter and installation artist Jay Wilkinson and carpenter/installation coordinator Brandon Peterson had put their collective on hold, Bobby on drums, to work with you. And then Amy Cardoso and Shasta Halbrick handled marketing and curation. Uh-huh. And that was the original Arttooth team. How has the makeup of the team changed over the past 12 months? And how has that kind of affected what you planned on doing?
You know, we started with that group of people, essentially the Bobby on drums people, and then Amy and Shasta and I. And over the course of the year, our first like big loss was Jay as our co-executive director. Jay has signed with a local gallery in Fort Worth, so he's going to go ahead and pursue his professional artistic career as a painter. And then actually most of the team is still on board. It's just the capacities have changed a little. We've brought on a new member, William Saradet, from Dallas. So he's actually helping us with some design and marketing.
But from Cleburne.
Yeah, he's from Cleburne. Oh, he's from Cleburne living in Dallas. Actually, I think I'd have to ask him to see what he'd prefer.
I know. I have to throw that in there.
I love that he's from Cleburne because he grew up in this like tiny suburb of Fort Worth, and now he's had like this Dallas experience, and it's really interesting kind of like taking him back to Fort Worth, and it's like, this is how things are operating here. And he's like, well, in my Cleburne and Dallas perspective.
So a lot of the same folks are still around. Like I said, you know, although their capacity has changed, I wonder if that's influenced changes within Arttooth's goal. You know, at the beginning, it was really like, let's get folks gallery representation. Let's teach them how to do this, you know, because as I said, whether you have an MFA or you're self-taught, you can run into the issue of like, well, I've been showing at every gallery that'll let me show, but I haven't been picked up by a gallery, or maybe I've been showing at pop-up shows, but I've never been able to show in a gallery, you know, that sort of problem that really happens for so many of the creatives in North Texas. Mm-hmm. Has this, I guess, readjustment of responsibilities readjusted Arttooth?
Well, it definitely has. It's really interesting to reflect back on the past year, and specifically, I guess, with Jay, because so much of that like started in our conversations. I think Jay Wilkinson is a phenomenally talented young painter. And it didn't make sense to me that someone like Jay, given his skill and his following, couldn't find a home anywhere. Jay was just essentially like the most like visible manifestation of that. There are a lot of painters in Fort Worth and beyond that are having the same difficulties. So when Jay and I first talked, it was like, all right, let's see if we can make this happen. Like, I'll represent you, Jay. And then as the project wore on, we just realized that the commercial scene was struggling too, that the institutions that are supposed to help the promotion of art weren't really taking regional artists in mind. So even to get them representation, we really had to create a grassroots infrastructure to do that. And we had to teach ourselves a lot of skills beyond the art realm to be able to do that. So in a way, that's kind of how, like, Shasta, she's our PR and marketing person. She's actually found a position in PR and marketing now with a firm. So it's been interesting.
You said you kind of had to reteach yourself, but you also, part of the goal that, you know, maybe wasn't as stated, but which was true, was teaching young people how to purchase art, right? Mm-hmm. What affordable art purchasing looked like, and what it looked like to go into a gallery and want to buy a piece. And you said this has been a grassroots effort. And in that, I've seen, you know, artists, I've become followers on Instagram of artists who I've never even met. And when I meet them, they're like, oh, you're Hottie. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, I know you from Instagram, you know? And I've met them digitally through ArtTooth, and I've purchased a lot of their work, maybe not the most expensive pieces because, you know, I live on a nonprofit budget, yeah. But, you know, I've become a collector. Can you talk about how having to teach folks like me, maybe even folks who work in a different industry than me, what supporting art looks like through purchasing art?
So for sure, we had to initially work with artists and kind of get them on the same page, like, this is how we need you to help us help you. But the second element of that, and perhaps the most important, was reaching out to a collector base that's maybe interested in art, but didn't know how to appreciate it or didn't feel comfortable in those spaces. I think one of the things that we've been most successful in doing is making people feel welcome. Like, we're going to present you something that's very thoughtful and maybe challenging at times, but you should feel like you should belong in this conversation because the publicly inherently belongs in art dialogues. And so specifically with us, we recognize that there's an established collector base in Dallas and Fort Worth, right? A lot of these families are the families that are on the board of major institutions and that can purchase like high dollar art amounts. But beyond that, there's a class of people who I think are interested in art, and many of them are young professionals that might not have a six-figure salary, but there's a place in that community for them too, just like there's a place in that community for artists that are either self-taught or just coming out of school. Like, you have to start somewhere. It's part of creating a ladder.
Yeah, you don't have to buy your work at IKEA. Not that there's anything wrong with mm-hmm. that, but there are local artists who you would maybe spend that same amount of money, maybe slightly more, who could be hanging on the walls of your apartments or your rented homes.
Right. And these are artists that are coming out of like amazing academic programs too. I mean, they're not just, you know, people who are at home kind of hobbying. They're dedicated career artists who have masters. And yes, like at this point in their career, some of their work is as valuable as like IKEA work. So it's kind of tragic that people choose to go to IKEA when there's such cultural wealth in the city.
Yeah. Well, you know, in March, ArtTooth launched a micro grant. And when we spoke about the grant, you said you wanted to set an example for larger institutions. You wanted to challenge them to do more to support local artists. And you wanted to be a person and an organization that was proving what you said by supporting local artists. You created a grant that was about $5,000. And that was like garnered. You raised that money in the less than 1 year of existence at that point. I think maybe 9 months, you know.
Yeah.
I'm curious how that project went, who you maybe, if you could give us just like a quick rundown of a little bit of who the money went to and what kind of projects it's funded and how you feel about it now.
Oh, I'm so proud of that. I'm so proud of that project. It was a lot of work. I think over the summer, we all kind of took like a small hiatus because we were a little bit burnt out and raising because it wasn't just Mind the Gap. Mind the Gap was a project that probably took us about 3 or 4 months to put together. So it was a lot of groundwork in conceiving it, getting the right people to participate, putting the call out. And then beyond that, it's like, oh, we have to raise $5,000. Now we have to have like this gala. So we're a group of artists that isn't necessarily used to putting on like something like a gala that like a lot of institutions do. So we had to teach ourselves that and do that. And we got the money and it was amazing. And not only did we get the money, but we were able to advocate for why that funding is important with people that really didn't maybe like know how to help. And then the second thing was that the project that we funded, it was kind of a risky venture and it was framed to be that way. It was, the panel were all artists. So it was Terry Thornton, Carol Zhu, Daryl Radcliffe, William Saradet, Lee Escobedo, he's a writer, but definitely arts-minded. And it was interesting to see them select someone from that perspective because I feel like a lot of the times the people who are selecting who to award these projects to tend to be art historians or business people. So we really wanted to inject how valuable an art perspective is when deciding what projects get funded. They decided to award it to Jonathan Molina Garcia, who's a local artist. He has his MFA in photography, and he pitched something called an immigrant invisibility suit. So I don't want to talk too much about it other than it's going to be really awesome. He's actually going to be doing an Instagram takeover for us, talking about that project and getting people ready. He has about a year to work on it, and he's already received the funds. So we're just excited to see what comes of it. And of course, we'll be lending our support, curatorial support and administrative support, if he runs into any problems executing it.
And do you know when that takeover will be or when folks might be able to get a good idea
about
that?
It'll happen at the end of this month. So definitely follow us on Instagram and follow him. Actually, I don't know if I should give you his private Instagram handle. Well, I'll have to ask him.
Okay, what about your Instagram handle?
So it's just at Arttooth.
Perfect. Uh-huh. Well, on Saturday, Arttooth is celebrating their anniversary with a giant collaboration. I mean, this might be the biggest one you guys have had so far. You'll be partnering with other collectives to show work and introduce new folks to new artists. You want to tell me how this project came about and maybe just a little bit of the, what someone's to expect. I mean, I know tickets aren't too expensive. We can't talk about the price on air.
Yeah.
But can you tell us what one might expect from an afternoon?
Yeah.
Or an evening.
An evening there. So this is our biggest collaboration because we're collaborating with about five or six other entities. So these are collectives in Fort Worth that have sprung up over the past year or 2 years. And they're bringing in like their own roster of artists. We thought it would be fun to have a play on like what a typical arts fair looks like. So a Dallas art fair, right? Like they'll invite like some pretty high profile galleries to participate and you see some pretty high profile art. But what's interesting in Fort Worth is that collectives have really stepped up to the plate where institutionally, like there hasn't been any support. And interestingly, I think that's where Arttooth will probably be headed in the next year. It's very difficult to engage every artist in Dallas-Fort Worth directly, but we can definitely help artists who are motivated to self-organize and kind of share our strategy and secrets and help them in whatever capacity they need. So for this event this evening, we thought that the best way to celebrate the work that we've done and how we've grown and the city has grown is by highlighting these very diverse, dedicated organizations and the artists that are working within them. So it's Latino Hustle that's run by Jessica Guillen, and she works with young Latinx artists. And it's not only artists in Dallas and Fort Worth, but she makes regional connections with artists, with vendors, with musicians, even chefs. Like her concepts are always just really well-rounded, and it's something that I'm really excited to support.
And she's also got a great Instagram handle, just personal note there. So if you're looking, you know, check that out as well. But sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. She's an artist herself, you know. We also have Dying Photo Club. So it's a collective of three local photographers that work in film and a lot of self-publishing. So we think that's just so interesting. And really important, especially the moniker Dying Photo Club, the idea that like film is dying and especially like in an age of image saturation, the work that they're doing is really important. We also have Neighborhood Cult, which is an experiential gallery that's focused on a female perspective. So their events are really casual. They typically curate only females in their exhibitions. And then we have the Fort Worth Art Collective. It's a collective that's been operating out of Fort Worth for a while. Most of them I would consider to be like dedicated career artists. They're bringing in, I think, 5 or 6 artists themselves. And then the other one is Art Luck. So Art Luck is
Excited to see you guys work with them as well.
Yeah. They're based out of the east side of Fort Worth. What's exciting about them is they do put on regular exhibitions, but they do really interesting programs like artists and patrons, like come do yoga with artists, sit down for figure drawing classes. Like they're building that community by interaction and involvement in these like little discrete packages. And the truth of the matter is that we've worked with many of these artists here and there, but it's nice to be able to work with them so visibly and present a united front of what the future of Fort Worth art looks like, really. Because a lot of these young artists that are working in these collectives are the ones that are doing the work alongside of us.
Well, you know, one of the things I'm noticing here is Art Tooth is going far and beyond what it originally anticipated it doing. And you're trying to partner with organizations that can do things that a small organization like yourselves probably mm-hmm. can't do alone. Mm-hmm. And it seems to almost have taken on an activist point of view. And when I say that, I don't necessarily mean like rallying against, but more like activists in that way that you're trying to activate people. You're mm-hmm. trying to activate artists and activate arts enthusiasts towards doing something. With that in mind, I hate to ask because it's hard, but can you project what Art Tooth is becoming? Or do you want to talk at all about what Art Tooth will look like next?
It's really hard for me to envision like what Art Tooth will look like in like 5 or 10 years. Like I have some ideas, but I also understand that we have some challenges to get past. Funding in the arts is consistently a problem. The city of Fort Worth does not have any funding for organizations like ourselves. So any fundraising that we do, it's really just like knocking on doors and having events because we're not eligible for grants yet. But I'm hoping that'll change. So I guess the best I can talk about is what our plans for the next year are, because that's something that I can definitely I can definitely envision. I think Art Tooth realized that for institutional problems, we're going to have you need institutional solutions. And so I mean institutional in like this very like sociological sense that the culture needs to change. And that means that museums have to shift, that nonprofit organizations have to shift, that the work that artists are doing privately and collectively has to shift, and that we need to involve more of the public in those dialogues. Like these institutions can't exist without public support, and we perhaps need to be more active in engaging with them and in engaging in a way with them that's very strategic. So I think next year we're planning on only doing 4 exhibitions, which is pared down from what it was last year. But
yeah, because you guys were doing one almost one every 2 months for at least the first, like I said, 9 months or so. There was at least a pop-up every 2 months, right?
Yeah. What's nice is because there are other collectives, and we think that if we can just kind of provide them support with some help that they need, that those exhibitions will happen. Because once upon a time, like it was very rare to have an exhibition in Fort Worth. And then aside from those 4 pop-ups or 4 exhibitions a year, we're going to tailor a lot of our programming to education and outreach. So we'll continue to have workshops with artists, for artists, and also workshops with artists for the regular public to get them to experience art in the way that many artists do, which is something very personal and very intimate and validating and therefore valuable.
Well, D. Laura, thank you so much for taking some time to chat with us about Art Tooth 1 year later. I wish you all the luck. And again, I appreciate you taking some time.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Hadi.